This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely. Positively. FedEx.
Airbnb.
It's wedding season.
Yes, it is. What's going on, baby?
Alex and I just got invited to a beautiful venue for the wedding of a childhood buddy of mine.
Lovely. Can't wait to hear about
it. We got babysitters. We're all set to go.
And the first thing that you did, Jack?
Book a hotel for the wedding.
Okay, second thing that you did?
List my place as available that weekend on Airbnb.
Millions of people host on Airbnb, but millions more have never even thought about hosting.
Here's the thing. We've said it's great to make money while you sleep. Actually, Warren Buffett said that.
Well, when you're an Airbnb host, you make money while you sleep and while someone else sleeps.
That's why anytime I'm traveling, I immediately jump into Airbnb and set my house as available. It's that easy.
So Yetis, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling.
Protect her.
That's from the opening chapter of The Last Thing He Told Me.
Or is it protect her?
It's protect her.
Yeah, it's like that.
It's a thrilling mystery my wife and I listened to on Audible.
It actually got adapted into a TV show, but it was way more riveting as an audiobook, wasn't it, man?
It's about a tech executive who disappears when his company gets indicted on accounting fraud.
But he disappeared to protect her. And honestly, we shouldn't say anymore. Let's stop
there. Listen to the whole audiobook on Audible while driving in the car on road trips.
And you should too. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog.
New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/tboy or text tboy to 500-500.
That's audible.com/tboy or text tboy to 500-500.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Friday, October 2nd.
What day, though, is it?
Tomorrow, Katie.
October 3rd, Aaron.
Wear pink or you can't sit with us.
This is our best one yet. Jack, first story on the TBOI.
Pepsi just heard that hard seltzers kind of got a thing going on in this country.
Yeah, apparently also just found out how many middlemen are in the booze biz.
For our second story, Bed Bath & Beyond doesn't care that your dorm is on pause.
Jack, it is Bed Bath & Back, baby.
For our third and final story, Hims is the second fastest company to become a unicorn worth $1 billion.
Jack, I'm checking the charts here. Could become the first fastest to go public.
But Snackers, before we hit those three stories, Subway Restaurants is technically the largest restaurant chain in the world.
Kind of shocked by this. Apparently there are Subways within the Subways.
There are actually 38,000 Subways, which wasn't a shocker to me because there's three in my small town of Brattleboro, Vermont.
Brattleboro, the sixth borough.
Now, you may know Subway as the Quiznos for people who prefer their cold cuts to remain cold.
But Jack and I found something fascinating yesterday. Turns out that the sandwich loaves over at Subway have too much sugar to fit the legal definition of bread over in Ireland.
10% of the loaf is sugar.
Yeah.
That's five times the legally permissible amount in the Kingdom of Ireland.
Jack, I'm taking a bite out of this thing. It's basically a syrup-filled sourdough.
Pumpernickel with extra glucose.
Two pumps, Deborah!
Now, apparently, our buddies at Subway, they were trying to get a tax break from the government in Ireland because they thought that the bread was a staple food that deserves, like, not to be taxed.
So then the judge took a bite of this stuff and actually ended up ruling, you know what? This is the opposite of staple food. It's too sweet.
It's a sweet. And yeah. Whoever suggested that they apply for this staple loophole in the country of Ireland, we assume they were fired.
Brad over in accounting.
Turkey on a loaf of candy, more brownie, less baguette.
Jack, what's our takeaway for our buddies over at Subway?
Subway should embrace this Irish ruling and launch a bakery spinoff instead.
We're thinking replace the meatball marinara
with the bear claw baranara.
Let's hit our three stories.
You're tuned in to Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we gotta get something legal out the way. The snacks you're about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities.
Nope.
It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security.
Right.
Snacks is digestible, business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, /SIPC.
For our first story, Pepsi sales have bounced back from the pandemic. But the real story here is that Pepsi has big bar tab ambitions.
All right, Snackers, Jack and I jumped into this earnings report snack style. True story. We have found the only company on earth who has a hype video for their earnings report.
It's a modestly produced YouTube video. And yeah, it got us thinking, they must have too many graphic design people over at Pepsi with too much time on their hands.
A lot of time on their hands and like a thing for like Disney Channel music. This thing's intense.
A PDF would have been fine, Pepsi. A PDF would have been fine.
In the meantime, though, shocker, if you go out during the day because COVID restrictions have loosened and you stay home at night, PepsiCo wins.
Drink sales last quarter for PepsiCo jumped 6% because more people are grabbing a soda from the bodega midday.
But then it turns out food sales jumped 7% for Pepsi because you're still at home making rice-a-roni once dinner time comes around.
COVID concerns have loosened enough that people are buying drinks, but not so much that they're not making dinner at home still.
Just enough for Pepsi. But Snackers, here's what fascinated Jack and I. After 127 years of just doing soft drinks, Pepsi wants to go into hard drinks.
The CEO of PepsiCo said yesterday during their earnings call, they're considering entering the alcohol business for the first time.
But here's the funny thing about the alcohol business. It is so intensely regulated, it is ruled by the three-tier system laws of the prohibition.
That's right. Alcohol must be produced, distributed, and sold by three different companies by law.
It's on a state-by-state basis. We know Washington, you do stuff differently. We're about to get six snack facts on it, and we love that.
Actually, Vermont has a weird law. No happy hour allowed by law. It's the only thing about Vermont that's not amazing.
Jack, I thought in Vermont, you just have to leave the bottle by the tree, and then you tell someone where in the forest it is.
It's actually a milk pail you leave by the tree.
So it's got to be produced, distributed, and sold by three different companies.
And that means you can't just toss a sans serif font millennial branding and go direct to consumer like every physical product we're seeing.
Yeah, the venture capitalists are really annoyed about that one.
Pepsi's arch nemesis isn't just thinking about alcohol.
No, they're not.
They're definitely getting into alcohol with a boozy version of Topo Chico mineral water.
Yeah, that's right. Coca-Cola is coming out with that soon, but they're using Molson Coors to do the distribution while Coca-Cola does the production.
And then you'll probably have your local 7-Eleven actually selling the thing to you. There have to be three different parties.
Snackers, that's why there's a Canada Goose store, but there's no Grey Goose store.
That's why there's a Jack Will store, but no Jack Daniel store.
And Jack, that's why there's a Victoria's Secret store, but there's no Whispering Angel store. You add up all those middlemen, Snackers, and Pepsi would lose a whole lot of profit by getting into alcohol.
So that's why it stayed away from booze for 127 years, but soda seems not to ever be coming back.
No, it doesn't.
And hard seltzer seems not to ever be going away.
Yes, it does. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Pepsi?
Big corporations aren't nimble. They're behind.
Big is late. Snackers, if a company of Pepsi size gets in on a trend, it's probably post-trend.
It's like the sloth of Zootopia. They're like,
love that guy.
Hard seltzer.
Boston Beer Company, for example, they're a lot smaller than Pepsi, and they launched Truly Hard Seltzer 4 years ago. Now they control half of the hard seltzer market.
4 years later, the Pepsi CEO is still asking, do we play in alcohol or do we not?
It's been 4 years, and if they do commit over at Pepsi, then it's going to be like research and development, 2 years of committees, a few reviews, seven different focus groups. And then they'll consider launching this thing.
By that point, hard seltzer drinkers will already have picked their favorite hard seltzer drink.
And the more agile companies will already dominate it. For our second story, we got our unicorn of the day. Hims, the direct-to-consumer prescription biz, was supposed to IPO a few years from now.
But they just got a note from the doctor.
Yep.
Take a SPAC ASAP instead.
Hims, call us back if the stock rises for more than 4 hours.
Now, Hims has a business that's very similar to another company called Roe.
Very similar. Both Hims and Roe, they're opportunistic startups whose biggest strength, honestly, was timing.
They both realized in 2017 that Viagra's patent was ending. It was owned by Pfizer, but now anyone can do it.
Then they also noticed a whole bunch of these telemedicine laws across a bunch of states. Those were loosening.
Lo and behold, they both launched telemed prescription companies with spoonfuls of millennialists drenched over the brand.
It is the classic erectile dysfunction drug with a side of avocado toast.
The core value proposition of both Roe and Hims is stop going to the pharmacy, use our lower cost subscription medication instead, and we'll ship it to you every month.
And feel millennially doing it. Now, Hims has expanded beyond just erectile dysfunction. Now they're doing hair, they're doing other sex stuff, they're doing skin medications, the whole thing.
Right. They have a generic version of Viagra and a cherry gummy hair thickener so that your hair doesn't thin.
But they also then went after a female audience with something called, get this, creative hers.
That's right. They have Hims and Hers. And Hers is also focused on hair, sex, and skin products.
Yeah, it is. So you got the generic birth control, sexual drive medication, acne, all generics.
In summary, they have a guy's division called Hims and a gal's division called Hers. But Nick, the parent company is called Hims. And the ticker symbol for the new stock is also going to be called Hims.
Huge missed opportunity. Jack and I are thinking, you name the corporate company and the stock. Get this. Hours.
How did they miss that, Hims? It's inclusive, it's better, and there's still time.
O-U-R-S. Just run with it, Hims.
So Hims has expanded into a whole bunch of medications, but it's simply the core business. It's more relevant today post-COVID.
The core business here, telemedicine. If you've never chatted with a doctor via Zoom, you've now spoken to a doctor via Zoom.
And telemedicine's probably cheaper too, which is a nice thing during an economic recession.
The result is that Hims was already the second fastest company to get to a unicorn $1 billion status ever behind Bird last year.
And they're expected to double their sales this year heading into becoming a publicly traded company.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Hours?
Hims has reached That's good, Nick. Hims has reached recurring revenue nirvana.
So snackers, here's how this goes down. You can create a graph right now about a business's revenues. On one axis, you've got frequency. On the other axis, you've got stickiness.
A low frequency, low stickiness revenue model is not a good one.
No.
That's where the customers pay every now and then, but don't really need the product. So they eventually may stop buying it altogether.
Take Reese's Pieces. Jack and I love them, but we only buy them every now and then because our life doesn't depend on peanut butter and chocolate entirely.
They're great at the movie theater, but I haven't been in the movie theater in 6 months.
However, Hims is a high frequency, more sticky business in like the upper right-hand corner of this graph.
Birth control, for example, is a sticky product because you use it for years, and it's frequent because it's refilled monthly.
So Hims has 260,000 medication subscribers, and get this, 91% of them are recurring revenue subscribers.
So next, Hims is going to aggressively pursue other top right quadrant.
Love it.
Recurring revenue nirvana products.
We're talking sleep, diabetes, cholesterol pills, high frequency, more sticky. For our third and final story, Bed Bath & Beyond stock just awoke from hibernation, surged 25% yesterday.
That's because the narrative of this stock has been reset.
Jack, we got to call up our buddies over at the 23andMe. Ticker symbol family tree. What do we got?
Let's start with ticker symbol BB.
Ah, that is BlackBerry.
Up in Toronto. Ticker symbol BBY.
It expands a bit. That's the cousin. That's Best Buy.
You can test out free video games on the Xboxes. And BBBY.
BBBY. That's a third cousin twice removed. That is Bed Bath & Beyond. In the meantime, Bed Bath & Beyond has been in extra time. Down 3-0, and bankruptcy was winning the game.
The stock was $77 in its heyday back in 2015, but fell to $4 at the lowest point of this year.
Honestly, Jack, you want to share Bed Bath & Beyond or you want a coat hanger? Which one do you want to buy?
It's a tough situation.
But then yesterday, they scored the equivalent of two goals with one kick and we're running out of sports analogies.
Bed Bath & Beyond announced yesterday comparable sales for the last quarter jumped by 6%. Which sent the stock soaring by 25%.
Key word from Jack right there, comparable, means apples to apples. First time they've had an apples to apples, same store from last year to same store this year, sales gain since 2016.
Every other time they've had sales rise since 2016, it's just because they were building new stores, which will raise your sales, but it'll add a whole lot of cost too.
Honestly, it's kind of like cheating. It's like you added a third arm to yourself.
Comparable sales growth is the strongest indication there is of growing customer demand.
It's the chicken soup for the retail investor's soul.
And the CEO of Bed Bath & Beyond, he credited the house hype going on in America right now.
Yeah, when home is everything, we're really poised to be the epicenter of that.
People are stocking up on face masks, patio furniture, even dorm decor over at Bed Bath & Beyond.
But then over at Bed Bath & Beyond, they whipped out a whiteboard and gave us a good, clean, family fun list of highlights from the last 3 months.
I would love to kick this off with the 89% jump in online sales last quarter.
Yeah, it must be nice because competition like TJ Maxx and HomeGoods, they only are doing physical stores. They're not even caring about the internet.
Online sales isn't even an option for Bed Bath & Beyond's competition last quarter.
But Jack, this is our favorite one. The coupon expenses fell over at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Oh, Jack, you just moved? I got a Bed Bath & Beyond 20% off coupon for you.
There are a whole bunch of those out there. People aren't using them. Your aunt's not cashing them in these days.
I heard Bed Bath & Beyond employees are told to burn them
if they see any of those out in the wild.
As long as they're not as long as the CVS receipts.
And then finally, this was a shocker, a 21% increase in back-to-school products from Bed Bath & Beyond.
Get this, Snackers. Apparently, families are emulating dorm rooms with their children's bedrooms if they can't go off to college.
It's anticlimactic when the end of the summer rolls around, you're 18, and you go back to your childhood bedroom.
I mean, it's honestly, it's not a dorm room unless you've got that one roommate who sticks up the endless summer poster.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, top seller since 2006.
Full disclosure, Jack and I had a posterless shared dorm room. But Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Bed Bath & Beyond?
Narratives matter for stocks. A lot.
Snackers, Tesla announces products like literally 5 years before they're actually happening.
The reason Tesla does that, it sets a positive narrative about Tesla's future.
Tesla's not really held accountable, and the people who work there are like, oh, we're doing that?
And the result is a lot of buzz for Tesla stock.
Now, the narrative on Bed Bath & Beyond was that it was following JCPenney's and Macy's really not fun footsteps.
Bed Bath & Beyond was knock, knock, knocking on bankruptcy's door.
But now investors think maybe it's actually following in Best Buy's footsteps instead.
After those comparable sales growth, maybe Bed Bath & Beyond will be one of the few survivors of the retail apocalypse.
And last week, investors were thinking that Bed Bath & Beyond stock was headed for like eventually zero.
This week, a bunch think there could be a bright future for it and that its $4 stock price is a bargain.
And that's why Bed Bath & Beyond stock just surged 25%.
The narrative has changed.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us before the weekend?
Pepsi is thinking of entering the booze biz.
And if it does, it's going to deal with a whole bunch of middlemen.
For our second story, Hims is going public via a SPAC.
Their businesses are frequent and sticky, but they should change their name to ours.
For our third and final story, Bed Bath & Beyond's strong quarter changes the narrative for the stock.
Unless JCPenney, a lot more Target or Best Buy. Now, time for our snack fact of the day. This one sent in by Parth Thacker in San Luis Obispo, California.
We've all played the classic party game with buddies, Cards Against Humanity.
Also good, clean, fun.
Back in 2016, I don't know how we never heard of this snack until now.
It's incredible.
They raised $100,000 to dig a gigantic hole as deep as they possibly could.
That's right. The makers of a party game raise money to dig a huge hole somewhere. In the United States.
And according to the company, as long as money keeps coming in, we'll keep digging.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they will.
They never explained why they did this.
Now, Snackers, before you go for the weekend, we got to say congrats to Hei Ching Huang, who is a new puppy parent over in Zhengzhou, China.
And congrats to James Higgins and Claire Tarina for getting hitched in Portland, Oregon.
And to Mariana Sa and Edward James also getting married down in Austin, Texas.
And to Stacy and Joseph Kmetz getting married in Houston, Texas.
But happy birthday to Jasmine Kemp over in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And Andrew Murphy right across the river in St. Paul.
Oh, those twins. And Miss Jackie down in Austin, Texas, too.
And Shelby Buckner in Augusta, Georgia.
And Derek Blankenship in Melbourne, Florida.
And Zoe Conover in Atco, New Jersey.
And Nick Crystal down in St. Louis, Missouri.
And Mark Shevitz in Miami, Florida.
And happy birthday to Brad Bonnet in Seattle, Washington.
Have you had your snacks daily?
H-Y-H-Y-S-D.
Ask your buddies for us. We'll see you Monday. Have a fantastic weekend.
Have a great weekend. Share your snacks. By the way, quick correction, Jack and I are dependent on peanut butter and chocolate. If you know, you know.
The Robin Hood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts who are associated persons of Robin Hood Financial LLC and does not reflect the views of Robin Hood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only, is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security, and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.